Okay, the boys side, we're going to start today's daf is daf Yud Tes. We're starting Yud Ches Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah, as you recall, we're speaking about the Kohen Gadol that for the first 7 days, for the final 7 days before Yom Kippur, he was sequestered in a chamber called the Lishkas Parhedrin. And in the previous Mishnah, we learned that the Zikni Bezdin accompanied him, and they would lain out every single day the parasha from Achri Mois, that this is the Seder Avoida, all of the procedures that have to be practiced on Yom Kippur. And now our Mishnah tells us that Masru Zikni Bezdin, after Zikni Bezdin were completed, what was their job? Again, to go and lay in Parshas Achri Mois. And then to say to the Kohen Gadol, now you lay in from Parshas Achri Mois, so that you should be clear on all of the details. Now says our Mishnah, Masru Zikni Bezdin LaZikni Kohuna. They handed over now the reins of the chinuch, of teaching the Kohen Gadol all of the practices and procedures, to the Zikni Kohuna. And what did the Zikni Kohuna do? Velu, they took the Kohen Gadol to the base of Tinus. Base of Tinus, as we've learned many times, we had it not too long ago also in Masechtas Shkolim. Base of Tinus were the people that were the experts in the manufacture of the Ketores. You see? You missed it. Barry.
Beautiful.
Barry's ankle. So, they brought him to Beis Aftinas. The purpose of bringing him to the Beis Aftinas, because as we'll see in Yet Hashem further in the Gemara today, and later on in Amresechta, one of the most difficult avoidos that the Kohen, in this case the Kohen Gadol, had to do throughout the year, was what we call the Chafinas Haktoiris. Vos mein Chafinas Haktoiris. In Bikitzur, because we're going to have this much more in the Gemara later on, the Kohen Gadol had to go into the Kodesh Kodoshim on Yom Kippur. One hand he held a kaf. Kaf means a huge ladle. In that ladle there was tons of ketores. In the other hand he took a machvas, that was a fire pan in which he had coals, burning hot coals. When he entered into Kodesh Kodoshim, he put the pan on the floor, took the kaf, this large ladle full of ketores, and he had to go and turn it over so that all the ketores would spill into his two hands, cupped together. That was very, very difficult, because you're taking the kaf. If somebody else would pour it into your hands, that would be a cinch. But he himself had to go and pour into his own two hands this kaf, and it filled up the two kafs, and he couldn't allow any of it to spill to the ground. So the Gemara says elsewhere that either he maneuvered it with his teeth, or that he did it with his fingertips. But anyway, it was a very difficult avoidance. So this is something that he got used to, doing it 7 days straight before Yom Kippur in the base of Tinus. After that, the Hishbiyu, then the Kahanim there were Mashbiyah him, and the Shvuah was that he is not a Tzedoiki. Tzedoiki was an Apikoiris. All the Tzedoikim were Apikorsim and did not believe in the drushes of Chazal. And in particular, when it came to the Inyan of the Ktoiris, they darshan the Pasik, kivi onon a ro'e al hakapoiris, that you're supposed to go and already put the incense into the fire pan when you're still standing outside before you enter into the Kodesh Kodoshim. So now it's easy. The Kohen Gadol would go and take, again, the Kohen Gadol Tzedoiki would go and take the Ktoiris, put it on the fire pan outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of the Kodesh Kodoshim, that is, and then he would take it into the Kodesh Kodoshim, and it was already flaming, and the incense was already rising. So this was obviously much, much simpler, and therefore, we were Mashbi, the Kohen Gadol, make sure you're not a Tzedoiki, don't go and do Tzedoiki. And he would say, of course. Meniftrav Olchalahem, and after that, the Zakenim left. The Amrulai, and before they left, they gave one parting statement. Ishi Kohen Gadol, Ishi my master, the Kohen Gadol, Onu Shluchim Bezdin. We are the Shluchim on behalf of Bezdin to go and teach you and guide you in all of the Inyonim for Yom Kippur. The Ato, and you Kohen Gadol, your Shlucheni, you are our Shliach, Ushliach Bezdin, and you're also the Shliach for Bezdin and for Klal Yisrael. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis, 18b.
Are we in the Mishnah?
Nope.
You went with Professor?
Yeah. We missed you yesterday. That's the problem.
Oh, I thought you were doing...
Okay, we're still best friends.
Okay,
but we're
okay,
this measure. Yeah, no problem. Atu Shluchen, Ushliach Bezin. You are both our Shliach and the Shliach for Bezin. So Mashbiyam Anu Alecha. We, now the Zakenim, are Mashbiyah you. B'mi Shishochen Shmoyah, Shikin Shmoyah, B'bayis Hazeh. in the name of the one that is Shorah Hishchina here in this house, meaning in the names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Shlo Tishane Dover Mikol Masha Amarnu Lecha, that you shouldn't be Meshane, shouldn't make even the slightest change in any detail from anything that we've taught you and shown you. V'hu Poyishu Boicha, now the Kohen Gadol would leave and he would start crying. V'hein Poyishu Boicha, and they would leave and they would start crying. Why would he cry? We'll see Mitzvah tomorrow on Yud Tes. Actually, we're going to see this a little bit later. The reason why he was crying was that they were choshed him, that they thought and were nervous about him, that he might chas v'shalom be a tzedoki. So he felt bad. Me, you're accusing of possibly speculating that might be a tzedoki, and I have to be mashbiah and all the rest. And therefore, when they left, he was crying. They similarly were crying that they had to be choshed him. Because the Gemara is going to say shortly, so they felt bad that if he is an Erlich HaKoyin, a Yid HaTzadik, that we're choshed him, that Chas V'Sholem, he might be a Tzadiki. Now, from here to the end of the Mishnah tells us that it was very, very important that the Kohen Gadol did not sleep the entire night of Yom Kippur. Why didn't he sleep? Because we wanted to make sure that he didn't fall asleep and then possibly see Keri. Because if he sees Keri, he becomes Tamei. So, we want to keep him up. So says the Mishnah, Im ho ye chochem, if the Kohen Gadol was a chochem, Doresh, he should give a shir for the next 6 hours, from 12 o'clock at night till 6 o'clock in the morning. He should go and say a nice tikkul Torah, a shir. The Imla, but what happens if the Kohen Gadol is a shvach Tamei chochem? But at least if he can understand a shir, then Tamei chochem Doresh lefanav. We'll call other Tamei chochem that they should give the shir, and he should listen, and perhaps participate, and be mefalpel, and give answers and questions, and all the rest. However, what happens if he's shvach? He doesn't even know how to understand a shiur behalacha. So then the imroga likra is koire. Then we say to him, but I'm sure you at least know some Tanakh. Please read out portions of Tanakh, which are interesting and will keep you up. Is that if imroga likra is koire? So we're mechabed him. Vimlav, what happens if he doesn't even know Tanakh? Koire lefanav. Then the chachomim will go and read Tanakh before him. In which of the Nach, which one of the Sfarim are we going to read? So the Mishnah be'Iyov u'be'Ezra u'be'Divrei Hayomim. Vos epis these three, says Rashi, the last Rashi, Shem Dvorim Mamshichem es Alev l'Shoyman ve'in Shinechot Vosei. These are really, really awe-inspiring. The Mamshich es Alev means they'll cause a person to listen and to focus. They are really geschmack and interesting. Therefore, he's not going to fall asleep. Zchari ben Kavutel said, there were many times, I went and read before the Kohen Gadol from passages in Daniel. Apparently, that's also Moshech Esalev. And therefore, what Zchari ben Kavutel is telling us is, we are not forced, dafke, Iyov, Ezra, and Divrei Hayomim. Oh, the Svarim are also good. And I taught him, and I would read to the Kohen Gadol from Daniel. Fine. Zokti Mar. We started off the Mishnah to say that the Ziknei Bezdin handed over the Kohen Gadol to the Ziknei Kehuna, and they took him to the base of Tinas. Says the Gemara, why ton? We learned in the Brayse, the Lam de Chafina. Said he should learn how to do the Chafina properly. Chafina means to put the two hands and cup them together and collect the Ketoidus on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kadosh. Omer HaPapa, Shtei L'Shachas HaYulai. Now from here till about 3 quarters down the Amud, actually until, you see, if you go all the way down to the Amud, 3 lines from the bottom, there are 2 dots. Rav Papa is going to go and lead us through a very, very interesting series of Mishnayos in Masechtas Midos to go and tell us that the Kohen Gadol had 2 special L'Shachas Miyuchad for him, set aside for him during these 7 days pre-Yom Kippur. One was the Lishkas Parhedrin, and one was the Lishkas Beis Avtinas. And what Rav Papa is going to try to do is prove where they were located within the Beis HaMikdash. So said Omer Rav Papa, Shtei L'Shachas HaYulai L'Kohen Gadol, he had 2 chambers. Achas Lishkas Parhedrin, where he resided and slept for the 7 days pre-Yom Kippur. The Ashkas Lishkas Beis Avtinas. And the other one was this Lishkas Beis Avtinas that he would go every single day to practice the Chafina. And apparently he was there for a goodly time of the day, and that's why we say that this was his Lishka. for that week, he basically took over because he really had to be an expert in the Chafina Saktayrus. Now, these two Lishochas, Achas B'Tzofen, one was in the northern part of the Azura, the Achas B'Doramen, one was in the southern part of the Azura. And we're going to prove that one was in the north and one was in the south from the following Mishnayis that the Gemara is going to bring. And after we bring these Mishnayis, then Rapop is going to say, and I will try to prove to you which of the two was B'Tzofen and which one was B'Doramen. So says the Mishnah. Achas B'Tzofen, now we learned in the Mishnah. One was in the northern part. Vav L'Shochas, Hoyu Ba'Azora, there were six chambers altogether in the Azora, Gimel B'Tzofen, Gimel B'Doramen, three in the north and three in the south. Shemadaram, those in the south, Lishkas HaMelach, Lishkas HaParva, Lishkas HaMedichim. That was the name of these three Lishochais, explains the Gemara. Lishkas HaMelach, Shesham Hoyu Noisnin Melach LeKarbon. That was the storage house where they had the salt for the Kabbanas. Now, it's not that they took from the salt from that Lishka and directly put it on the Kabbanas, because as you know, there were repositories on the top of the Mizbeach where you had the salt, so that when the Kahanim would go and bring up the Karbonois, the Evorim, for instance, from all of the Oilois, or even a Karbon Mincha, Chol Karban Minchoscha Bamelach Timlach, you have to add salt. Where did they add the salt? There at the top of the Mizbeach they added the salt. Fine, but what happens after the salt on the top of the Mizbeach ran out? So they had a storage house called the Beis HaMelech, where they had the Lishkas HaMelech, where they had the Melech for the Kabbalas. Then they had Lishkas HaParva, Shesham Hoyu Molchin Oirois Kodshim. In the Lishkas HaParva, the name Parva is because the person who built it, who dedicated it, his name was Parva. We're going to have him later on in our Mesechta. Anyway, in this special Lishka, they took the Oirois Kodshim, the skins of the Kodshim, and so that they shouldn't all shrivel up and they should go to waste, they would immediately be moilech them, they would go and put on salt to go and preserve them.
Is this described in the second temple?
This is both for the first and the second.
But they say a family, yeah. Sponsored, so I mean it's...
Oh, I mean the name, how it I'm got the name Parva? It's likely it was the second, but it's the...
Right, that's what I'm thinking. It's, the first one was Shlomo Melech, and then the second one probably is more...
More egalitarian and more people in participated. Well, we'll see, Mitchum. Later in the Masechta, we're going to meet about Mr. or Rabbi Parva, who dedicated this special Lishka. On the top of this base of Parva, Lishka Saparva, on the roof, there was a mikveh. And the mikveh was used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. L'choira, most mikvois that we're familiar with are usually down below, like in the basement. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is so that there's an easy water supply. Here, however, Rashi says that there was, in fact, a mayon that would lead into the gag of this Lishkas HaParva. See Rashi on the second and third line. Al gaga, hoye base hatvila, on top of the roof, there was a base hatvila. Me mayon hoye boin lisham beruma. There was a Meimayan that was a natural stream, a natural spring that would lead into that Mokad. You're thinking to yourself, how did a spring from down below go all the way up? And the answer is, remember that the Beis HaMikdash was on a Harabais, was on a mountain. So it could very well be that where this Lishka was, that was next to where the mountain...
The stream was from the top.
Exactly, a stream coming from somewhere from the top, and it led into here, and it was a beautiful stream, and they had a beautiful mikveh, and that's where the Kohen Gadol toivled on Yom Kippur. We're going to see in Mi'at Hashem a little bit further down the daf, that as we know, the Kohen Gadol toivled five times on Yom Kippur, and he did Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim 10 times. Not all the 5 times were in the Beis HaTvila on top of the Lishkas HaParva, only the final 4. The first one, the Kohen Gadol toived himself in a place called the Shar HaMayim, appropriately called Mayim, because there's water there. And actually, we're going to talk about that again a little bit further down. Fine. So this is the Beis HaParva. Now we go to Lishkas HaMedichim, Shom HaYu Medichim, Kirvei Kodshim. There they used to go and take the Kirbayim, that is the innards, from the Kodshim. They used to go and rinse them out and take off all the Shmutz, so that especially by those kachim where you put everything on the Mizbeach, like a carbon oila, He had to go wash them all out and clean them to take out all the shmutz. Now the obvious question is, wasn't there those 8 shulchanos to the north of the Mizbeach? Why did they have a special lishkas hamedichim? I always thought that those shulchanos were the place where they would go and wash it out. So this is not only my kasha and Barry's kasha, because I see Barry's bothered with it, but we have the Taptoisis that addresses this. Shamadichim. Hod yamrin li'el de shulchanos hoyu ba'azor lahadich alein hakochim. Which means, every single carbon you have, part of the carbon, of course, is the basar, is the meat of the animal that you just shechted. And then part of it, of course, is the kirbayim, the innards, all of the intestines and stuff like that. So, the basar of the kochim, they would wash to the north of the Mizbeach on these 8 shulchanos. The kirvei kochim, the innards, sheyesh ben perish, that they have a lot of shmutz there, a lot of excrement and things of that nature, those are ready me'isi, those are a little bit repugnant. We go and take them into the lishkas hamedichin, presumably we close the door, and we go and rinse them thoroughly because of the terrible stench, presumably in rinsing the innards. Okay, anyway, so those were the three. Continuing on, Umisham Mesiba, from the Lishkas Madichin, there was a Mesiba. Mesiba over here doesn't mean a party. Here means a circular staircase that went from the first floor, Ola Legag Besa Parva, which went up to the roof of the next door Besa Parva. Remember we said the Besa Parva was next to the Lishkas HaMadichin. So there was a circular staircase that would go from Madichin to Parva, to the roof, and there the Kohen, or whoever had to, would be able to go and type. Fine. Now we continue on. Those were the three Bidorim. Now we have Gimel Bitzofain. And this is the one that we have to focus on for Rav Papa's Raya, that there were two Lishoches in the base of Mikdash. What were the Gimel Bitzofain? Three in the north. Lishkas Ha'eitz. Lishkas Ha'goyla. Lishkas Ha'gozes. Lishkas Ha'eitz. Omer Rablezim and Yaakov. Shechachtim Ha'hoysim Meshameshes. We had the same Rablezim and Yaakov a few days ago, by another lishka, where Reb Leizman Yaakov says, I just don't remember what the purpose of that lishka was. Remember, we're already talking about after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, some of the historic details as to what lishka was, for what purpose, Reb Leizman Yaakov says, I forgot. Shechachti. Rabbi Shaul Oimer, but I remember. Lishkas Koyin Gadol Hoysa. This was a lishkas Koyin Gadol. So now we know one thing, that Shebet Safoin, this is one of the three Lishoches Shebet Safoin, the Lishkas Ha'eitz, this was the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. What we do not know at this point was, which one of the two Lishoches was this? Because remember, Rav Papa said there were two. One was the Lishkas Perhedrin, one was the Lishkas Beis Avtinas. I don't know at this point which Lishka this is. We do know that it's Bet Safoin. So, put that in the back of your mind, because we're going to come back to this shortly. Now, this Lishkas Ha'eitz, why exactly was it called Lishkas Ha'eitz? Rashi doesn't address that. Some of the Mefarshim come up with some speculative ideas how it got the name Lishkas Ha'eitz. This was not the same as the deer who ate him, which we've had before.
Chamber of wood, no?
There was a chamber of wood, where that wood was put on the Mizbeach, 100%. But this was not it. Rather, this Lishkas Ha'eitz, some say because it was manufactured, the structure of the Lishka was made with wooden walls. That's what some say. Anyway, the Machloik is exactly in the Mefarshim how it got that name. Now, this Lishkas Kohen Gadol, Lishkas Ha'eitz, Hoysa Achoyrishtein, this was situated in back of the other two. What other two? Because we said it was together with the Lishkas Ha'goyim and Lishkas Ha'gozes. So Lishkas Ha'goyim and Lishkas Ha'gozes were in the front, and this was in the back. The Gag Shloshtin Shavet. And the height of these three was the same, or they all had a common roof on all of these three lishachas. Now, Lishkas Ha'goyla, how did it get the name Lishkas Ha'goyla? Sham hoye boir ha'goyla, v'agal genosan olav, v'misham maspikim mayim l'cholo azar. This was called the Lishkas Ha'goyla because this was a boir that was dug out by goyla. Goyla means people that were oily goyla. If you look at the Rashi, six lines from the top, Lishkas Ha'goyla, al shem bar, shekoru sham, oily goyla. The people that came up from Golus, presumably in the times of Ezra and Nehemiah, they needed to go and have a water supply for the Beis HaMikdash. So they found one of those water supplies in the Lishka, where they were able to dig down and bring up water subterraneously. And that's why it got the name Goyle, because the Oile Goyle were the ones that dug it out. Va'agalgal nosan olav. A galgal is a form of a wheel or a pulley to go and lift the water up to bring it from down below. And therefore, whatever waters you need in the Azara, either for drinking or for the Lishkas Hamadichim, or whatever you needed water for, you took water from there. Lishkas Hakosis, that's the famous Lishkas Shomayi Sanhedrin Shul Yisrael Yosheves. That's the Sanhedrin of the 71 judges would sit there. Now we know that that Sanhedrin had a number of purposes. In the first Mishnah in Masechtas Sanhedrin, it talks about those occasions where the Sanhedrin Gedolah would have to be active. However, generally those things were not on a daily basis. What did they do on a regular basis? Bedona Esa Kehanim. They were an official Bezdin to oversee the qualifications or the lack of qualifications of someone who came in and says, I'm a Kohen. If a Kohen comes in and says, I'm a Kohen, I want to do the Avodah. But unfortunately, they did diligence, and the Kohanim, or the Sanhedrin, found out that the father of this Kohen, who was also a Kohen, unfortunately married, for instance, a Grusha, a divorcee, and this son who wants to do the Avodah, therefore is a Cholol. Can a Cholol do the Avodah? And the answer is no. If someone unfortunately was branded disqualified as a Kohen, they would put on him black clothing, and he put on such a black talis of sorts. The Yotzev Halach Lohin, he left Nebuch in disgrace that he would not be able to do the Avodah because he was disqualified. However, someone who was kosher, beautiful story. Anyway, what have we learned from this beautiful Mishnah that we just concluded? We learned that in the Tzofoin, there were three Lishachos, one called the Lishkas Eitz, and Abishol says that was the Lishkas Kohen Gadol. So, what we have to bear in mind now for the remainder of this Amud is from the first Mishnah, we have one Lishka of the Kohen Gadol, the Tzofoin, on the northern side. But now, says the Gemara, Achas Padon, but there was a second Lishka that was in the Doran, in the southern side. It's not like we learned in another Mishnah. Shibish Orem Hoyu Bazar. There were seven gates that opened up to the Azara. Gimel B'Tzofen, the Gimel B'Doran, the Echad Ben Mizrach. Three on the northern side, three on the south, southern side, and one on the Mizrach, on the eastern side. Shibadoran, the one on the Doran side. Shar Hadloka, Sheni Loi, Shar HaKarbin, Shlishi Loi, Shar Hamayim. Those were the three there on the Durham side. Now, what was the function of these three? So the interesting thing, says Rashi, that of the first two, he doesn't know what those two were all about. Where is there, Rashi, over here? Shar Hadlaka Shar HaKarbon, about 8-10 lines from the top of the Amid, says Rashi, Lo Yadati Loma Nikrim Shuag came. I don't know how they got these names, Shar Hadlaka Shar HaKarbon, and therefore Rashi doesn't even explain what the purpose of these two Lashachas, or these two Sha'orim, were. The Mefarshim have a machloikis, exactly what they were. Some say Shahadlaka means that every day they brought in the fire to go and put on the Mizbeach, even though in the first Beis HaMikdash there was a fire coming down from heaven, but it was a mitzvah for the Kohanim to add their own fire to the Mizbeach. The second Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, they didn't have the Eish coming down with the Shemayim, so therefore they had to bring in their fire, so they brought the fire in through that Shahr to put on the Mizbeach. That's the Shahadlaka. Sheini Loi Shahr HaKarbon. Certain karbonis, in fact, there's a gears on the side, shar habachoyrois. Certain karbonis, it would lead to the mizbeach through that particular shar. If you have that gears, shar habachoyrois means any bechor that was being brought for a karbon, bechor behem, of course, would go through that shar to the azora and to the mizbeach. Shlishle, the third one, is shar hamayim. We're going to get back to the shar hamayim shortly. And the reason how it got its name Shar HaMayim, Rashi brings one of the two reasons given in Masechtas Shkolim, which we learned not too long ago, that was the Shar through which they brought the Tzloichi Shomayim for the Nisach HaMayim on Chag on Sukkot. That how it got its name, because during the year apparently it was used for other purposes, or perhaps it was even sealed. But during the 7 days of Yom Tov, of Sukkis, they brought in the Nisach HaMayim through that door, and that's how it got its name, Shar HaMayim. But the Gemara Misach Shkolim tells us another reason, and this is based on a whole bunch of psukim in Yecheskel, that even in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, there was a small trickle of water that left the Kodesh Kedoshim, went through the Azara, left through the Shar HaMayim into outside the Harabayis and outside the Beis Hamikdash, and then L'osid Lavoi, that little trickle of water is going to grow slowly but surely. As it leaves the Beis Hamikdash, it's going to be ankle deep. As you go another 1,000 amos, it's going to be knee deep. As you go another 1,000 amos, even heavy-duty ships won't be able to go on and sail on these waters. It's going to be huge, huge yam that's going to lead all the way to the north and to the south. Anyway, that's how it got the name Shar HaMayim, because that trickle of water that went through that shah.
I would think, since it uses mikvah,
yeah,
this one time,
yeah,
Shar HaMayim.
That would be a great reason, but that's not the reason that's given. But Mitch, I'm going to talk about the mikvah in another few lines. Sheba Mizrach, on the Mizrach side of the Azara, Shar Nikanar. What's the Shar Nikanar? We've spoken about this many times. Nikanar was a wealthy individual that went to Alexander Shabbatroim, bought two beautiful doors to bring to the Beis Hamikdash, and then he was importing them by taking them on a boat, and then unfortunately tidal waves came, and the sailors took one of the two doors and threw it overboard. Then they wanted to go and throw over the second one. Exactly, and Nikanar grabbed hold of it, and he said, "You can't. If you're taking this door, you're going to have to take me with it, because I'm grabbing hold of it. I'm not going to let you remove this door." So they let go, and guess what happened? In Baruch Hashem, the tidal waves went away. Finally, the ship arrived in the shores of Eretz Yisrael, and then as they were taking off Nikanor and his door, they saw that the other door was bobbing around in the water next to the boat, and they considered this to be a major miracle. Anyway, they took these two doors, and they framed them, hung them there at the Shar Mizrach, and they're also famous because all the Mitzrayim would stand there and put in their bahonos for purposes of applying the dam and the shaman, etc. Ushtei l'shachos hoyu sham. On the eastern wall of the Azara, there were two lishkois, achas b'imino v'achas moilai, one to the right of the Shar Nikanor, one to the left of the Shar Nikanor. Achas lishkois Pinchas HaMalbish. We had Pinchas HaMalbish back in Masechta Shkolim. He was, if you will, the valet for the Kahanim. He had the storage of the Bigdei Kahuna, and he would dress the Kahanim with begodim that would fit them, because they had to wear exactly their size, and no one size fits all. Pasuk says, midoy vad. It has to be to the midah of that Kohen. So Pinchas was in charge of that. V'yachas lishkas oisei chavitim, and the other side was for the lishkas oisei chavitim. As you know, the Kohen Gadol brought every single day to chavitim, machzisim v'boikim, machzisim v'arev. And every Kohen on his day of inauguration would go and bring the mincha. That was called the minchas chinuch. It was mechanachim. He was now installed and inaugurated. He brought this karma chavitim. And that was on the north. That was on the eastern wall. Shevet Safan, on the northern wall, you have the Shar Nitzis. Shar Nitzis was a special shar, which was shining, radiant. What was it like? So the base of the Bach changes the gears slightly. Ukemin Achsad Rahoya, the way this shar was built, it was like a porch, that what? Aliyah Benuya Loyal Gabav, there was an aliyah, a roof on top. Visham, and on the three sides, it was totally open, and so therefore, lots of light, sunlight, was able to go and penetrate into that shar. That's how it got the name Shar Nitzitz, that it was radiant from the rays of the sun. Visham Kahanim Shemim Malmala, Veliv Levim Mata, because there was a roof on top, there was a place where people could stand on top. So you had Kahanim standing Shmir on top, and the Levim was standing Shmir down below. V'shalafnim heimenu hachel, beyond the Shar Nitzitz, you had the chel on the outside, meaning you had the part of the Harabayis which was not part of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was on the other side. Sheini loy, the second Shar was a Shar HaKarbon. Karbonis that came in through that Shar. We had the other one, the ultra Shar HaKarbon. That's why the Bach changed it to Shar HaBchoyrus, because this is a Shar HaKarbon. This is a Shar HaKarbon. One was Betzofen, one was in Dorim. The third one, the Shar Beis HaMoikid, which we spoke about at length a few days ago, that the Shar Beis HaMoikid was the Shar. As you entered through that Shar, then you came to the Beis HaMoikid, which was where the Kahanim would warm up their feet and their bodies, because it was very cold, especially because they were going barefoot. And around the Beis HaMoikid, you remember, we had four separate Lishachos. We had the Lishkas HaChisomis and the Lishkas HaLechem Aponim, Lishkas HaTloim, and we had the fourth Lishka, which was the fourth Lishka, also called Beis HaMoiket, because there was a smaller fire. Anyway, so that was all leading up to or from the Shaar Beis HaMoiket. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Okay, so we have now finished the series of Mishnayos, and what we saw from the Mishnah that we just completed was that there was a special Shaar called the Shaar HaMayim, which was in the Doraim side, the Shaar HaMayim in Doraim. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Now this Braisa is now getting us back to Yom Kippur. Komish Tvidas Vasar Kiddushin Tevel Koyin Godul Mekadosh Boi Bayoyim. The Kohen Gadol had to go and toivel 5 times, and he had to wash his hands 10 times, Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. Okay, the Kulon, all of the Tvilois were by Kodesh, Al Gag Beis HaParva, that's the Gag Beis HaParva that we spoke about at the top of the Omid, the principal purpose of the Gag Beis HaParva, because there they preserved and they tanned the Oros Kodeshim, but on the Gag, it was a special place, a Tvila, special place where he would toivel. However, the Kohen Gadol didn't toivel all 5 Tvilas, only the latter 4. Chutz Mizu, except for the first one, Shehoyseh B'chol, that's before the Kohen Gadol got into the Azor itself, because we want him to go in B'Kedusha, so before he enters, he goes B'chol. Where did he go and toivel? Al Gabi Shaar HaMayim, on top of the Shaar HaMayim. In other words, the Shaar connected the outside of the Beis HaMikdash to the inside. So before he came into the Beis HaMikdash, he would toivel on that Chol Mikvah, and then he would come in and do all the Avoida, and later on, all the other 4 Tvilois were already Bakoidish on top of the Beis HaParva.
But he was already in the Shkara of Pahedrin.
We can talk about that in a moment.
But wasn't the Pahedrin in the Kodesh already?
It was in the Kodesh, but it had a status of Chol. As we've learned in the past, any type of lishka, the
opening,
it depends. Okay. What decides whether or not it's kodesh or chol, where the opening is. If the opening is the chol, even though lishka resides within the azara, it's called chol. And if the opening is the kodesh, even if it happens to be beyond the azara, it's in the chel, since and it has a din of kodesh. So if this had a din of chol, be like lishka b'hedrin, we're going to talk about lishka b'hedrin in another moment.
Because he was doing the vodah all 7 days, so he was already, you know, so this is an extra mala.
You'll see everything in Mitchum in a month. Chutz Mizu Shehoyseh B'chol, the first tvila that he did in Yom Kippur was Al Gabi Shaar HaMayim, and the Mitzad Lishka Shehoyseh, and it was right next to his Lishka. And this is the conclusion of these series of Mishnayos and this Braisa. What we've concluded is that the first tvila in the morning on Yom Kippur was Al Gabi Shaar HaMayim, and this was right next to his Lishka. Now the question is, and where was the Shaar HaMayim? We said it was Bidorim. How do you know that the Lishka HaMayim was Bidorim? Because if you go back to where we started off this Mishnah, where did we have this Mishnah? We started off 6 lines into the wide lines. Achas Bidorim Ditnan, at the end of the line. Shivish Orem Hoyu Bazar, Gimut Sapi, Gimut Dorim, Yechel Mitzvah, Shebidorim. This is the 7th line of the wide line. Shebedon, we had the Shaar Blaka, we had the Shaar Carbon, the Shaar Bechoyres, and the Shlishloi Shaar HaMayim. Oh, so the Shaar HaMayim was definitely Bedorei. And it says that next to that Shaar HaMayim, it was Bitzad Lishkosai. So the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol was right next to the Shaar HaMayim Bedorei. But remember from the earlier Mishnah at the top of the Omud, we said that the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol, which was known as the Lishka Sa'et, that was Bitzavai. How do I know it was Bitzavai? 3 lines before the wide lines, 3 lines before, it said Gimel Shebet Sofain, Lishkaso 8. What was the Lishkasa 8? First wide line, Abishol Oimah, that was Lishkas Kohen Gadol Haizah. So we know we had 1 Lishka the Kohen Gadol in Sofain. From the Mishnah that we just concluded, we know that it was Bidorim. So there were 2 Lishachis, 1 Bitzofain, 1 Bidorim, and now Rav Papa continues. Remember, Rav Papa is the one that started at the top of the Omid, that there were 2 Lishachas, 1 Bitzofain, 1 Bidorim. Says now Rav Papa v'lo yadana, although I have proved conclusively that there are 2 special Lishachas, 2 special chambers for the Kohen Gadol, one was the Lishkas Pahedrin, one was the Lishkas Beis Haftinas, v'lo yadana I Lishkas Pahedrin Bitzofain, Lishkas Beis Haftinas Bidorim, or Lishkas Beis Haftinas Betzavain, or Lishkas Behedrin Bed Aroin. So I don't know which one is which. Says Rapapa. Umistapa, let us logically try to find out the answer ourselves. The Lishkas Behedrin, probably Bedorim Haba, was in the Dorim side, was on the southern side. my time, what's the basis of my svara? Why is that logical? And so therefore, now Rav Papa gives us a presentation how it worked every day of the 7 days, and this is what Brother Shai was leading up to a moment ago. My taima, makdim koi. He gets up from his bed in the morning in his lishka. We are going to assume at this time that he is, we know for sure that he was sleeping in the lishka's Sanhedrin that we had earlier on in the Masechta. He slept there, resided there for the 7 days. So he slept in the lishka's Sanhedrin. And we're going to assume that it was bedorim. Why would we assume that it's bedorim? Let's continue on. He got up. Umeisaches raglav. Meisaches raglav is a very polite way of saying that he went to the bathroom to relieve himself. Meisaches raglav in particular means gedoilim, means for to defecate as opposed to urinate. Meisaches raglav. And after he was finished with all of that vitavel, and then he went and toiveled. Where would it be like that he would toivel? Next door. Because we just said now the Shar Hamayim is right next to his lishka. So he got up, went to the bathroom, and now he's going to go and toivel. The reason why it's so important that the Gemara has to tell us that he went to the bathroom is mention we're going to have a Mishnah later on, Daf Chof Ches, that if the Kohen Gadol ever went to the bathroom for Gedoilim during the day on Yom Kippur, he had to go to the mikveh yet again. In addition to his 5 tefillos, he would have to go and have a 6th tefillah.
And so every time he goes to the bathroom, he's got the...
Only on the Gedoilim. Gedoilim means on the heavy side, not if he's just urinating. Okay?
Well, also, at least once a day.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's time it. That's working out.
This is the Mishnah on Daf Chof Ches. If you want to look at the Mishnah Daf Chof Ches, the last two lines of the Mishnah, Kol Meisach Es Raglav Toun Tvila, and Rashi says Meisach Raglav means Nekov Gedoilim. You have to toil. Kol Matul Mayim. If you're just urinating, then Toun Kiddush Adayim Raglav. You only have to wash your hands. Whether that also applies to all the Kohanim throughout the year, just the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, Mitzvah, stay tuned for Daf Chof Ches, we'll find out at that time. But in the meantime, that's the reason why the Gemara throws that in, to go and tell you, he took care of that, so now he toivled. Exactly. So he toivled after that, so the Tevilah took care of two purposes. Number one, the Kiddushi is going to do the avoidance of Mitzvah. Number two, to take care of any problems related to the fact that he went to the bathroom. Okay. V'tovu v'ozel, so now he is finished with all of the things that he did b'doraim, but ozletzofi. Now he goes to the north, but gomer chafina. And there he's going to go to the base of tinas, the other lishka. And when he's finished in that chafina, the base of English. Now he's going to go to the base of English proper. In other words, he's going to go into the middle, into the azara. The avod avoda kuli yom. The whole day he's going to be busy with the avoda for rehearsing pre Yom Kippur. The Bahari Panya, when it gets now nightfall, Madu Alei, we're going to go and do spritzing. Remember, we spritzed on him all 7 days, except for Revi and Shabbos. And according to the other man, Yomar, only Shlish Yushvi. I'm sorry?
We did Revi also, didn't we?
Revi we did not do, because Revi there's no purpose in doing. Because we're saying that day one, day
right,
two,
right,
day three.
Right, but I thought we covered.
And then we had 5, 6, 7. And then we said that in case he was able to go and, for instance, by the Sreifas of Paraduma, we would always make sure to start it on Wednesday, so that the 4th day there would be no Hazor. Number one, because it's Wednesday, and number two, because it's a Shabbos. Anyway, so bottom line is, why did we do it at the end of the day? You remember, because Rabbi Kiva said that if you go and spritz on a Tohar person, Mechatas, he becomes Tameh. He won't be able to do the Avoida. That's why the Gemara said at the end that it can even go according to Rabbi Kiva, and we're going to spritz on him at the end of the day. He'll be able to then have a shtickle tzeit for Tful Yoim, where he's going to wait till Herif Shemesh, and have Herif Shemesh, and then it's going to be totally tar. Good. Anyway, so Mado Le, at the end of the day, they would go and spritz on him to Mechatas, Vahada Ozl, the Dorim, and now he returns to his quarters in Doroim, and Vitovil, and he's going to toivel yet again. Why is he going to toivel? Because of the spritzing in the Mechatas that caused him to become Tameh, like Rabbi Kiva. So he goes now for another Tvila next to his quarters in the Shah HaMayim B'dorim. This is not on Yom Kippur. This is during the 7 days. During the 7 days. Then Naich, and after that he would go and retire for the night in his Lishkas Sanhedrin. So it says Rapapa, this is all a very logical sequence. That the Lishkas Sanhedrin was B'doroim. We got up in the morning, he went to the Shah HaMayim right next door, because it was close to his Lishka, like we said. And then, after he's finished with all that, he's going to go to Tzofain, do the Chafina in the base of Tinas, which was his second Lishka, that he worked in during the day. Then he went to the base of Midrash and did the Avoida. Now at night, we did the spritzing. He now returns to the Dorim side to go to Tevila, and when he finishes his Tevila, he goes next door to his Lishkas Parhedrin to rest for the rest of the day for Harif Shemesh, and then at night he'll be able to go and sleep, etc. Says Rapapa, the Amis Lishkas Parhedrin, it's all fine. If you're going to tell me the other way around, Lishkas Parhedrin was in the north, what would that mean? Maktim Koi, he gets up in the morning, and Mesach Raglam, and he goes again to relieve himself in the bathroom. The Ozla Dorim, now he wants to go to, he's going to go to, down to the Dorim. He has to travel all the way, he has to traipse all the way from the Tzofen side to the Dorim side. And what the Gemara leaves out, and what the Mephoshim add, is it's not just a question of going from the northern part of the Azara to the southern part of the Azara. He was not allowed to go in the Azara at this point because of the fact that he hadn't toiveled yet, as well as he had gone to the bathroom. So therefore he's going to have to go around. He's going to leave north and go through one of the Sha'orim in the north, go outside the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have to go all the way around till you get to the Dorim, and then enter in from the Dorim through the Shar HaMayim, go to the Mikvah over there, the Ozla Dorim, the Tov and the Toivels, the Gomar, and then he does the Chafina over there, because if the Lishkas Parhedrin is in the north, then the Beis Avtinas is in the south, because one is in the north, one's in the south, so he's going to do the Chafina. The also the Beis HaMikdash, and after that, when he's finished, he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he's going to do the Avodah Kuliyam the whole day. The Hadipanya, in the evening, towards the evening, Madhulay, we're going to do the spritzing of the Paras Chatzas, the Mechatzas on him. Vahadar Ozel, and now, from where he is, he's going to have to go Lidorim to Tovel there in the base, the next to the Shah HaMayim. And then when he's finished over there, Ubay Mehedru Mezel Tzofin, now he has to return from Dorim to Tzofin. And again, he can't go through the Azara because he's a Tvul Yoim. A Tvul Yoim is awesome to go into the Azara. So he has to go again from outside the Beis HaMikdash, walk all the way around. I'm sorry? He should wait until Harif Shemesh. It would be a nice idea, but the point is he would have to wait outside the Beis HaMikdash.
Well, I mean, in the area, he's there. Is there an area?
Okay, so I guess he would sun himself, he would take along the Gemara Yuman, he would learn the Daf. Yeah, you could do that. But eventually, what is he going to have to do? Amazel Tzofen, he's going to have to go back to Tzofen where the Lishkas Parhedrin was, according to this scenario. Umeinach, and he's going to wait over there, and he's going to sleep over there, and rest over there. So therefore, Umitarach, Mitrachinen, Leikuli, Hai, will we be Matriachim? And therefore, says the Gemara, that's why it's far more logical to say that the Lishkas Parhedrin was Bidorim, so he would always be convenient for the mikvah both in the morning and towards evening, as opposed to him being in the Tzofin and each time having to traipse around the Beis HaMikdash, going down to the Dorim and Toivling, and then going back again to Lishkas Parhedrin. It's not logical. So, says the Gemara, that's why Rav Papa decided Lishkas Parhedrin is down below in the Dorim, Lishkas Avtinas is in the Tzofin. Every time that he's Tomei, or even it's full yoin, he cannot cross through the Azara. So if he's going from Dorim to Tzofin, he has to go out.
So everyone is Tomei, but the whole purpose of it is to get to Levana. So ideally, he can just go right to the Hecha, right?
Through the Azara. That would be ideal. But he can't because he has to go
around.
He has to go around.
So there are two shots. One was that they spritz him at the end of the day, so he does all the avodah. Wasn't there another approach that he took?
The Gemara initially said at the beginning of the perek that, or the beginning of Daf Yudalit, the Gemara said that every single day we used to go and spritz on him. It says the Gemara, Kol Shivasiyam Huzoyre Kisadam Maktus Atoidus Mantana Rav Chizda Deloy Kribe Kiva. The Rav Kiva Omer Tor Shenofla Olam Hazor Timasai. How can you do the Avodah? So this Mishnah cannot go according to Rav Kiva. But then on Yudalit Amid Beis said Abai Omar Afilu Tem Rav Kiva Do Avod Avodah Kuli Yoyim Ol Pan Yimad Olef in the evening. So this goes according to Rav Kiva. Good. Yes.
It's practically a very kid, right?
Exactly right.
The first step is, why is he doing it before that point of the day? He has to do whatever the day comes to Shachar. And he has, between that and the day comes to Shachar, he has a whole day.
It's so true.
Why is he doing Hafina?
It's the hardest Avodah to learn.
Exactly.
I understand it, but still, he has a whole day to do it. I mean, so in terms of time pressures,
he might have. He didn't have to do the Avodah every day.
Describing his daily process.
Absolutely, you're 100% right. The point is that Mendy said the Chafinas Aktoides is considered to be one of the Melachis Koshish of the Mikdash. All the other Avodahs the Kohen Gadol was familiar with, because throughout the year he was able to do the Avodah any day of the week. So although we want to really train him in and have a rehearsal every day, all the other avodas that he does during the day are not as essential to prepare him for that big day called Yom Kippur. So he might have spent 6 hours on the chafina, again tossing in his hand and turning it over.
But what we're saying here, yes, it's just passing myself. Gets up in the morning, yeah, to himself whatever it is.
Right.
And he walks to the other side. He's got a mikvah and he goes prepare his chafina.
Right.
So now, don't get we're supposed to be makir the tumshal shachar first thing in the morning, right?
Okay.
So the time constraint. I understand.
He may have left the Tumish Kashach for other people, and he went.
No, but we said all
of that is true. That is all dependent. If this Kohen Gadol was, for instance, like Shimon HaTzadik, that was for 80 years, presumably he only needed a 5-minute preparation because he's done it for 80 times already. Most of the Kohanim done the second Beis Hamikdash only did it once. By the next year, they were already in the Beis HaChaim. They were no longer alive. So, even new Kohen Gadol, he had to, every day. This was a big part of the way. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara at this time, so therefore, Rav Papa L'Choira has conclusively proven that the Lishkas Bahedrin was in the south, next to the mikveh, and that the Lishkas base of Tinas was in the north, and therefore it would be very convenient from his house to the from the chamber to the mikveh, from the mikveh to the chamber, much more convenient. Why should we matriach? So Gemara, Alam Aloy Matrichin Alei Tvei. Why? Actually, we should be matriachim. The Tzedokiu live right. Maybe the purpose of schlepping him from Dorim to Tzofen and Tzofen to Dorim is so that in case he happens to be at Tzedoki being our grace apikaitis, we want him to say, you have to go back and forth and back. It's just too much for me. And he's going to say, you know what? I quit. Have somebody else. Inami Allah. We don't want the Kohen Gadol to get fool's ears. He shouldn't become pompous and arrogant. I'm the Kohen Gadol. No, nobody like me. So if we come to big Kohen Gadol, you got to schlep like everybody else, back and forth, forth and back. If you're not going to tell me that's the pshat, why didn't they simply go and have two? The base of Tinas and the Lishkas and the Lishkas Parhedrin, they should be next to each other. Why should one be Bitzof and one be Bitar? Or just make an expanded Lishkas Parhedrin that you can do the Chafina there too. Why do they have the two special Lishachais? Presumably because in fact we want to wear him down a little bit so he shouldn't be a Tzedoki or he shouldn't be too pompous. And therefore we have no conclusive raya that Lishkas Parhedrin was in the Doroim and Lishkas Avtinas was in the Tzofen. It could be that it was Fakert. We don't have a conclusive raya one way or the other. Fine. Now the Mishnah continues on that after when these Shluchim are about to leave, these Zikni Bezdin, they go and say to the Kohen Gadol, they say, Ishi Kohen Gadol, Anu Shluchim Bezdin, Va'ata Shluchenu Ushliach Bezdin. We're just Shluchim of the Bezdin, but you are our Shliach, and Shliach for the Bezdin. In other words, you have a much greater role to play than we. We're just Shluchim Bezdin, we're Mechanech you some of the pieces of the Avodah, we taught you how to read the Achrei Mois. However, you're Shluchenu Ushliach Bezdin. Zokti Yimara, Lim Tevtiyot Rafun B'Rei Ravishua, Yimara Rafun B'Rei Ravishua, Hani Kahani Shluchim B'Rachmanin, Ninnu. There's a famous Shailat. The Kahanim that do the Avodah in Beis Hamikdash, are they our Shluchim, Shluchim for Klal Yisrael, or the Shluchim for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're going to wonder, sounds like a philosophical discussion. What's the Nafkimina Lalocha? The Nafkimina, says Rashi, is if the person who's bringing his carbon is not on the best of terms with the Kohen that's doing the Avodah. And if he's not on the best of terms, he may have made a Neder Hanok, which means Yankel Smith the Kohen. I never want you at any time to give me Hano, and I don't want to give you Hano. That being the case, that Yankel Smith HaKohen wouldn't be able to do the Shlichus on his behalf, because he's the one that's effecting the carbon. And if you're going to go and tell me, yeah, Mitzvah Lav Lehen, isn't it? No. But what about eating from the carbon? The Kohen is going to have the Hano of eating a nice shoulder steak, or rib steak, or French roast, or whatever it is, from the Kabbalah which brought. So therefore, that's why it's a big shaila, it's a big nafkimin al halacha, whether or not the kahanim are shluchim nidan or shluchim rabbana. So says the Gemara, Ravuna Rebbe Yeshua said that the kahanim are shluchim rabbana. I'll prove it, says Ravuna Rebbe Yeshua. The Amr shluchim nidan, they know that they're our shluchim. Me'ika midi danan le matzina le mebe, the shluchim nidan matzah avdi. We have a famous rule in law that your shliach, your representative, has only the amount of authority that the mishaleach has. How can he have more authority than the mishaleach, the person that is sending him on his mission? Wouldn't make sense. Right? The shliach is shliach shel adam kemoisai, but he's not better than the mishalech. So now I, who happen to be Yisrael, I cannot bring a carbon. I mean, I can bring a carbon, but I can't go and shecht. Or shecht, I can shecht. I can't do kabbalah sadam. I can't do halacha sadam. I can't do zrika sadam. All those things can only be done by a kohen. How can the kohen do it if I cannot do it? Is the chayr arai that they're not shluchay didan? It's shluchay dirachman. That's the discussion in Zvachim. But now, from our Mishnah, it's mashma not like that. Because in the Mishnah it says that ata shlucheinu, you, the Kohen Gadol, you're our shliach, u'shliach bezdin. You're the shliach for ganz klal Yisrael. How can he be the shliach for ganz klal Yisrael? He's the chayr shluchei derachmana, not shluchei didan.
What is didan?
Didan means ours, for us. Not for us Jews. He's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu shliach. When he does the avodah in the base of English, he's not your and my representative, he's God's representative. Good.
So that's what didan means?
Didan means ours. Of ours. Our shliach.
Our includes...
Wait.
You said to God, I lost
the train of thought.
Yeah.
No problem. There is a discussion which on the surface sounds philosophical, but really has practical applications in halacha. That when a kohen is doing the avoda, doing the service in the Beis HaMikdash, he's bringing the carbon on behalf of the Jew that is bringing the carbon, right? Jack Smith, a Yisrael.
Okay, get that. Don't be nice.
Jack Smith brings his carbon. He's bringing a carbon for a chatas, or for an oila, or for a shlomim, or for an ashim, whatever. He's bringing his carbon. And now, Yankel HaKoyin is going to bring this carbon on his behalf. Now, Yankel HaKoyin, is he the shliach on behalf of Jack Smith, the Yisrael, or is he a shliach on behalf of God? That's a philosophical question.
Is he bringing the carbon for God? Is that the question?
Not that he brings for. Everything is for Hashem. But when he's doing the avodah, he's doing the service.
Kapara, so it's bring for people who need kapara. That's
Hashem selected all of the kahanim to do the service in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Holy Temple. When these kahanim are doing the service, are they doing it our representatives, our meaning Klal Yisrael, all Jews representatives? Or Hashem said, no, he is the representative of me. I'm not going to come down and start doing the Shrita and the Kabbalah Saddam Mazrika. He is my representative.
Here. That's
a discussion. So from our Mishnah, it would appear that the Kohen Gadol is our representative because it says in the Mishnah, Atash Lucheinu Ushliach Bezdin. That's very clear. Everything more, no. Hachi Kamri Lei. Hachi Kamri Lei Mashbiyan Anu Alech Al Datenu Vi Al Das Bezdin. Since it said in the Mishnah that Hishbi'u, they caused him to make an oath. They want to make sure that he's not going to play tricks. What was the oath that he had to make? He made an oath that I am not a tzedoki. What happens if the Kohen Gadol, when he's making this oath, he's thinking to himself, I know what the definition of tzedoki is. Tzedoki means someone who lives on a desert island off of Australia, which is called tzedok. And therefore he's saying, I'm not someone who lives that on that island. I'm not a tzedoki. Now, that's, of course, not the way that we look at tzedoki. Tzedoki we look at as a person who's an apikoros, who happens to be one of the disciples of tzedek, who was unfortunately went off the derech. And so therefore, when you mashbih him, we say, don't think to yourself and make up your own contrived explanations what you mean tzedoki. Mashbih an onolech al da'ateinu v'al da'as bezdin. Our definition of tzedoki, are you or are you not? And that he has to answer their question and not have other ideas of what a tzedaki means. According to Rav Huna Brev Yeshua, he's shluchid rachman and not shluchid nidan. After this whole procedure, after he made the shua, he cried and they cried. He feels so bad. I've been an Erlich Yid for the last 50 years, and now you're going in and counting my tzitzis, looking at the size of my yarmulke to see if I'm really Erlich or if I happen to be a tzedoki. So he felt bad. They felt bad. Whoever suspects someone else of Chas V'Shalom being a bad guy, like a begufa, he deserves to get malchus for suspecting his fellow Jew. What's the reason why we were so careful about this? He has to make a shvua, and that they have to go, and he cries, and they cry. The tzedoikim didn't like the idea of having to go and be professional jugglers, that they brought in the k'toyis with one hand, and the machwas with the other hand, and then with that kaf of k'toyis, they had to go and somehow, almost miraculously, gymnastically spill it over into their two cupped hands and make sure not a drop falls on the floor. That was very difficult. It was the avodas kosher shib b'migdash. So the tzedokim said, you don't need to go and do all of that, those acrobatics. You can go and be mesakin b'chutz. That means when you're still in the heichal, nobody's looking. Go and take the ktoris, put it into the fire pan, and go with that fire pan and the ktoris into the basin, into the kodesh kadoshim. Isn't that so much simpler? We were choshed or choshesh that maybe a kohanim, a kohen gadol, would do that. That's why we must be in advance and say, Reb Yid, don't do that. Make a shvua that you're not a tzaddik. You shouldn't prepare it outside the yachnas and bring it in already finished, a finished product. Then why does the tzaddikim do it that way? Of course, it's easier, but they have a posik which we're going to cite in another few lines. It's Tanur Rabbanan. There's a story about a tzaddiki. She hiskin mi b'chutz v'ichnas b'ichnas. He did what we just said. You're not allowed to do. B'tziyosi, as he comes out of the kodesh kadoshim, yisamech simcha gedola, he had a smile on his face from ear to ear. He was so happy. Wow! I did the masik toiris and I tricked everyone. I did it outside. Pogway over his father met him and he sensed what's going on. Amaloi, he said to him, Bini, my son, even though we are from the sect of the tzedokim, we're still afraid of the Purusha. Purusha means us, our Tanoim and Amiroim, the Tamid Chacham Chazal. Amaloi, so the son said to him, Kol yom mayu yisim etzal ha-mikra zeh. Since my youth, I remember learning in Chayda the Pusik, Pushtait and Pusik, Ki va'onon eroi al ha-kapoyres. If you want to see the entire pasuk, you have Torah Ora Sholem. V'yemeshem Moshe Dabal Har Chicha Bal Yom B'chaleis Al Kodesh. Don't go in every day into the Kodesh Kadosh and Beisav Roishes. El Panei Akapoyus Hashal Orin. Lo Yomus. Why ki be'onan Eruah Al Akapoyus? Rashi has two pshatim in Chumash. The way that Tzedoki is learning pshat ki be'onan, I'm going to come under a cloud of incense. Eruah Al Akapoyus. I will show myself when I enter into the Kapoyus. And so therefore, he, the tzedoki, learned ki be'onan means that when I'm entering into the Kodesh Kedoshim, I'm already clouded with this incense going up and smoking all over me. Aha. That's how he learns. He says, I've always had that desire to go and show that I'm right, and the Prussian don't know what they're talking about. So he said, Amarti, I always used to say, Masi Yadi, when is this ever going to come to my hands? In other words, when will I have the opportunity, Bakai Menu, I'm going to fulfill this pshat. Ashav Shabali Yadi, now that I was appointed as the Kohen Gadol, and I can do it in this fashion, Loi Akai Menu, shouldn't I be Mekayim the Pshat of the Pasuk? And therefore, I'm happy that I defied Chazal, and I defied all of the Perushim, and I did it my way. Amrus, the Torah tells us, Yomar tells us, and unfortunately, this fellow, this Tzedoki, did not have a good ending. But Hayyam Mu'atim, it didn't take a long time. In other words, a few days passed, at Shemes, and he died. And not only that, v'hutum ba'ashpa, his body was thrown onto the garbage dump. And there were little worms coming out of his nose. Why would the worms be coming out of his nose? So there's a machloikis in between Rashi and the Tosfos Yeshanim. If you look at Rashi, mechoitmoy, about a few lines higher than where we are in the Gemara. Mechoitmoy, shurishon levarim, likonis labayis. When a person enters through a doorway, which is the part of the body which protrudes? Now you can see from this Rashi that the people were skinny at that time. Because there's some people that today, not all, but some people are a little bit obese, and therefore it's their belly button that comes in first, or at least their belly. But here, if you're a skinny person, it's your nose that comes in first. Jerushan Levarim, the Kanis Levayis, that was the first one that comes into the house, meaning here, the Kodesh Kedoshim, the Fishishu Boilet Lefana, because it sticks out. And in fact, in the case you don't believe it, says Rashi, I'll bring you a Rai from the Gemara Masechta Shavuos. It says, Anichlas Levayis Amenuga, if a person went into a place where they had Negat Saras on the walls in that house, and he walks in Derech HaKoyrev backwards, Bafil Anichlas Kulai, even if the entire body went into this bias, with the exception, Chutzmi Chotmei, except for his nose, he remains tar. What do you mean, except for his nose? How come the nose wasn't part of the body? We see from this that the choytem sticks out, so if you're walking in backwards, that's the last part of the body that would get into the house. So if he left his nose out, he wouldn't be affected by some nugget. So now the other way around, if you're going in frontwards, then the choytem is the first thing that goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim. And since he went to the Kodesh Kedoshim in an illegal manner holding the ktoiris, therefore his choytem was the one, mida keneged mida, that was hit. However, Tosfos Yeshayahu says, I respectfully disagree. Why? He says, you're right. When a person is normally walking and he's normally skinny, then the nose sticks out. But guess what? The Kohen Gadol was holding in his hands the kaf and the machta. Those went in first. He didn't hold it in the back of him. He held it in front of him. So those went in first. So those should have been hit before the chaitim. And therefore, says the Tosfos Yeshayahu,
probably wouldn't be holding it correctly anyway. So he'll assume that
exactly.
He's holding, like, he's holding, he's doing it.
He's holding it.
Even if he did it outside, it's in front of him too.
Exactly. So, says the Tosfos Yeshayahu, the reason why he's chaitim is because the chaitim was benefiting from the Reich HaKadosh before they walked into the Kodesh Kadoshim. And therefore, since the chaitim, the nose, was having hanor from this illegal act, look at, you see Tosfos Yeshayahu here on my Gemara, it's on the bottom here, on the left-hand side. It's the first Tosfos Yeshayahu. You see, mainly the first Tosfos Yeshayahu. Mida keneged mida. Shehareach sheloi letzorech. Because he riach, he smelled for no purpose. In other words, against the law. He was smelling the Torah outside the Kodesh Kadosh. Those came in first, so those should have been punished first. So therefore, the reason for the chaitim is because it smelled the rech. It's nishazoi shver under Rashi, because what Rashi means to say is that under normal circumstances, what's the first part of the body that goes in? That's the chaitim. That's the natural infrastructure of a person, is that the chaitim goes in first. The fact that he held things in his hands, he's now changing his body by holding it in front of him. But under normal circumstances, it's the chaitim that goes first, and that's the one that got punished first. Anyway, back to the Gemara. The Yesh Oimrim, there was another version of the story, it had nothing to do with the nose, but rather be Tziyase, as he's leaving the Kodesh Kodesh, Nigiv, Malachim came, and they gave him Pech. The Toni Rebchia, Kimin Koil Nishma Bazora, they heard out in the Azara when this Tzedoki came out, Shebo Malach Vachote Alpanam, that they gave him a patch across the face, Venechlesu Echav Kahanim, and the Kahanim came in, Umatsoi, and they found on him, Kikaf Regil Egil Ben Ksefer, that on top of his shoulders, there was a mark of like the regel. Now I thought the regel of an egel means like a young cow or young calf. However, the art scroll says the word egel comes from the Russian ogul, that it's round. So he saw a mark between his shoulders of a round foot, a round hoof. She says, why would that be? She never, because it says about the malachim, the ragleim, and their legs, their feet, regularly short, they're straight. The kaf ragleim, and the palm, the hoof, the bottom of their feet, is kikaf regel egel. The sole of their feet was like kaf regel egel. So therefore, that's the mark that he saw on this tzedoki on his shoulders. So, bottom line is that he was punished not with the chaitim, but on the shoulders.
They rush in.
Is it like a tattoo?
Like a permanent tattoo. In other words,
so then you okay. Then he defaced it.
The malachim, they stood on top of him, and therefore that made a mark here on his shoulders.
Like a scar on the leather.
And he died.
Also, completely shunned.
That's here.
On the forehead.
But that's.
I
agree with you 1,000%, but as you see, our Gemara, the Bavli doesn't have that shunned. That is Yusham. Yes, it's correct.
Yeah, so how did Kohanim go in there? I thought they had a rope.
It said Bitsiyasa, he came out. As he's coming out, Bitsiyasa, uh-huh. Then, in
so
fact.
So he was able to stumble out.
So as he was walking out,
he
stumbled out.
Because he got a whack.
Yeah, exactly.
So he didn't die. Maybe, later.
I wasn't around at the time. Amr Schai ben Kvutl. In the end of the Mishnah, we learned Schai ben Kvutl said that he would read out Daniel to the Kohen Gadol. Now, Masli Rav Chanan bar Rav Lechi bar Rav Kamid Rav. Rav Chanan bar Rav was a Malamed, and he was teaching Chia, the son of Rav, in front of Rav, our Mishnah. And when he pronounced Rav Schari ben Kvutl, he said Rav Schari ben Kvutl, with a fey instead of with a vase. Machved Rav Yodei, and Rav made a hand signal, a hand motion with his hands. Kvutl, don't say Kvutl with a fey, it's Kvutl with a vase. Why didn't he speak out and say, Rebbe, don't say kefutl with a face, say with a vase. Why did he make hand motions? He says, Yimar, because Krishma Abakari, he was reading Krishma. And in the middle of Krishma, you're not going to talk out. Are you allowed to make signals? If you're reading Krishma, each one of these things means don't wink with your eyes, don't go and make a mumbling with your lips, and don't go and show with your fingers. In other words, don't make any signals in the middle of Krishna. It's got to be totally devoted in your words to Hashem, and don't start doing other things. How could Rav go in motion with his fingers. But Tanya Rav Loza Chasma Oimer Hakodesh Shema Umeramis Beino Mekarts Bitzav Soisin Mar Beetzvaoi. Anybody that does this type of signaling in the middle of Shema, even though he didn't say anything, but just making these signals, all of a Kasav Oimer V'loi Oisi Karasi Yaakov. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says you didn't learn Krishma properly. The word Karasi from Lashon of Kriya Shema V'loi Oisi. You didn't call out to me the Priyish Kriya Shema properly, Yaakov. You Yid. It's a Shver. That's what we just said. Now that you're now going to be Yirmais Be'enov, all of these hand signals and winking, you cannot do that in the first Parsha of Krishna, but you'll have to do in the second Parsha of Krishna. Now, from our Gemara, it would sound off. So once you get the second Parsha of Krishna, you're allowed to go and stop motioning and making signals and stuff. But many of the Mefarshim say, no, it's only the Dvar Mitzvah you're allowed to. Since this Rebbe was teaching his son incorrectly, he was saying Kifutl instead of Kivutl. That's why he's allowed to make a hand signal. But to go and make a hand signal to someone in the middle of Krishna and hand me over the tissues or something like that, that you're not allowed to do. Okay, Tanaban. It says in the Pasuk in Krishna, with the bar to bum, bum v'loy bitfila. What this Gemara is telling us is, explained to Rashi, that when you're saying Kriya Shema, you're allowed to enunciate the words out loud. Now, don't scream it out, but you're allowed to say it out loud that you can hear it. The dibarta bum. Dibarta, you're allowed to say the dibur with your mouth. You're allowed to say these words, bum, of Kriya Shema. But if you're davening Shemen Esrei, then it's got to be belachash. You have to say it quietly to yourself and not say it out loud. Don't disturb your neighbor. Don't say it out loud to yourself. Quiet. You're allowed to go and talk about dvarim kedoshim, words of Torah, but don't go and talk narishkeit. Don't talk about frivolous matters, about shtusim, about nonsense. Devote you, don't waste your time, Rabbi. Dibar tamam means that on a regular basis, this should be a kvias. You're talking about Torah. Don't talk it. Don't make it aroi just temporarily once in a while. Yeah, for half an hour here and 10 minutes there. Dibar tamam, your whole asik, the whole day, you should be talking in Torah. Omer Rava, hasoch sichas chulin uy basay. Person who talks shtusim, nonsense, he's uy basay. Shnei of dibar tamam, bam alib dvar machay. So that's an asay. Even on a lav, shnemar kol hadvarim yigeim v'yuchal ish v'daber. All the words are yigeim, make a person weary, meaning stam nonsense, make a person weary. V'yuchal ish v'daber, pashut shal v'yuchal ish v'daber. A person cannot keep on saying dvarim yigeim. The way the Gemara is learning is v'yuchal. You're not allowed to say dvarim yigeim. You're only allowed to go and talk in Torah and not talk about nonsense and shtusim. We'll stop over here. Maybe we'll continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Say Zayge to Yashar Koyach, everyone, for listening and participating.
David says, on Rashi, mm-hmm. Rashi's wrong. When you walk in the room, look at your foot.
You bring in
the foot first.
Who says this?
The Yavitz.
Yavitz, mm-hmm. Okay.
If he says, I'll smell you before.
Oh, it's another right. It's like the Tosha Shah.